Back on this, chapter number 1, verse number 1, tells us it's time of the judges, when the judges rule. So that's time after Joshua died. Joshua died at 110 years old, and then God would raise up judges when the people would sin, and then an invading power come in the land, spoil them, and invade their houses and ransack the country. And then God raise up a deliverer and deliver them from it. Then they go back, you know, do that cycle over again. And then God established the kingdom of Israel, the kingship, later on. So this about 400 years of judges last about that long. And it came to pass, in the days the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. A certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, him and his wife and his two sons. Now this is north of Israel. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife Naomi. Elimelech means my God is king, and Naomi means pleasant. She is such a pleasing personality that everywhere she went, she's smiling, bouncy. You've seen bouncy women, just bouncy, just happy all the time, as Naomi. And they got two sons, Mahlon. That means sickly, and Chilion, it means piney. Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. They came to the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. Mahlon, Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. In other words, you got three funerals and three widows at the end of their journey, sojourn in Moab. By the way, Elimelech just went down there to sojourn. He didn't go down there to live. He just thought, I'll go a little bit. This thing will be over in 6 months, and we'll be back as his full intention. She arose with it, but of course he didn't get back. And I'll get to this, but let me say this. Elimelech left Israel, left Bethlehem to protect his family from death. He got out of God's will and he died. Very thing that he went to Moab to prevent happened. And not just him, but his two sons. You get out of God's will, you better get back quick. I'm telling you, all you haven't been saved long. Don't you stay out there long. Long you stay, the easier it is to stay, and the deeper that hole gets, and the harder it'll be to get back. You better know that. And you won't get back without it costing you dearly if you stay too long. Mahlon, Chilion died, both of them. The woman was left of her two sons, her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return to the country of Moab. She heard the country of Moab, how the Lord visited his people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, her two daughter-in-laws with her. They went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Naomi said to her two daughters-in-laws, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you've dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters, why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, that means that she has married and will conceive that very night. Would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. She's not blaming anybody but herself. Evidently, because of the blame she took, she's the reason Elimelech went down there to start with. She said, the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. Ruth clave unto her.
I'll not get there today. That word cleave is the same as a man leaving father and mother and cleaving unto his wife. That's the love she had for her, not in some unholy way, but she loved her as her own mother. She said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Ruth said, she makes six statements. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from falling after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I'll die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if all but death part thee and me. She saw she is steadfastly minded to go with her. She left speaking with her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. It came to pass. Of course, Bethlehem means a house of bread. Came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem, all the city has moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Where is the smile? Where's that little bouncy, happy woman that left here? They're saying, could this be? There's no way this is her. Can't be her. This isn't the woman we knew. This can't be Naomi. She said unto them, call me not Naomi, pleasant. Call me Mara. That means bitter. For the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home empty, or again empty. Why then call you me Naomi? Seeing the Lord had testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. Boy, I tell you what, before this story's over, you talk about it getting better for Naomi. You shout all day about Ruth. You shout all day about Naomi. Now, I'm going to tell you why. It's unbelievable the grace God has on this woman, Naomi. It's unbelievable. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. So they're coming back at the time of mercy and grace. Well, I had my mind made up. I was studying last night. I wanted to preach on Ruth and following in the footsteps of Ruth, talking about how that when Ruth decided, made that choice to go back to Bethlehem with Naomi, she did not know what lay before her. Everything's uncertain. The future's uncertain. Much like the new year. We're coming into a brand new year of 2015, and there's a lot of unknown. All of it's unknown. And there's uncertainty. And we don't know what God's going to do, but it's going to be a lot good. Yes, sir. Amen. It's going to be good. Amen. It's sure good last year. Yes, sir. Amen. He still be God. Amen. 2015. Boy, what Ruth was deciding. You got to understand here. What Ruth was deciding was to live in exile. Now, one of the reasons Naomi tried to get her to turn back, besides the fact she's got nothing to offer her, there's no safety net except charity in Israel. She doesn't have food. She doesn't have a home. She has nowhere to go. She has nothing to offer. Hey, she does not know how Ruth will be accepted. She's a Moabite. That's the enemy of the nation of Israel. She doesn't know how that this Moabitish woman will be accepted. For all that Ruth knows, she's going to go live in exile. But she'd rather live in exile than to go back to the sin of Moab, the false gods of Moab that sacrificed their children, and the lifestyle of Moab, and be separated from Ruth, or from Naomi. She'd rather live in exile than live that old life. So she chose a life of exile. She chose a life of meager existence. She went back knowing she would have a poor lifestyle. Humanly speaking, she would be relegated to a life of isolation and celibacy. So she made this decision based on a lot of uncertainties. Now, we are there today. Uncertainties. I'm going to get to Naomi in a minute, I think. But the thing about Ruth, her uncertainty, our uncertainty, in the midst of all the uncertainties, thank God there's some things I'm certain about. Amen. I'm certain of God. Hallelujah. God's ways are always the best way. God's word is trustworthy and is faithful. God's will shall ultimately prevail, utterly prevail in the end. Ruth is a book about the providence of God. Starts out with famine and funerals and failures, but it ends up in reunion, redemption, romance, and royalty. Instead of exile, when Ruth gets to Bethlehem, she becomes the wife of the mightiest man of wealth. In all of Bethlehem, she had no idea when she made that choice that day. Thought she'd live in exile, that she'll end up with the most qualified bachelor in all of Israel. She's going to be the mother of Obed, a son of worship. She's going to be the ancestor of Christ. Great grandmother of King David. Hallelujah. I'm talking about in the crossroads of life. She had no idea what following God would exist of. But thank God she found out following the Lord was the way to go. Don't miss this. How'd she get hooked up with Jesus? By following God's people. And Brother Keith, she said, I'm going with the people of God. Tell you what, you may not even be saved. But it'd be a wise day when you say, I'm going with the church. I'm talking about a real church. I'm about where the truth preached. Where people are truly converted. Live for God. Instead of poverty, she married into overflowing abundance. Instead of rags, she lived in riches and experienced the riches of God's grace. She ends up with one of the most famous marriages in all the Bible and one of the most famous romances in the history of man. All because she got hooked up with the people of God. Not only. Now, Sister Carolyn, this didn't happen in a day. She makes a decision to go with Naomi and be her nurse. As she grew older, she committed to the people of God to be faithful to her the rest of her life. She said, that's how I can serve this great God of Israel. No idea. The reward there was in getting hooked up with God's people. Amen. Not only did she have no idea of God's grace and God's glory and God's greatness that awaited her, so she leaves. They're about 4 miles, Jewish history says, when Orpah turned back from the border of Israel. She goes to Bethlehem. Step by step, God unfolds this program. And this system of the kinsman redeemer. Until finally, later, she marries Boaz. And this great man in Bethlehem, Judah. But notice this. Naomi. Hallelujah. Naomi had no idea. The blessing and the benefit and the beauty that Ruth would bring to her life. Ruth had no idea the blessing Naomi would bring to her life. And Naomi had no idea the blessing she'd bring to her life. What I'm saying is, people that don't know God and they get saved, they meet Boaz through Naomi, the church. They got no idea how good and what a blessing a real church can be to them. And the friendships, and the love, and the example, and the instruction. Let me say to you converts, you've got no idea the blessing you are to us. It thrills our soul. It's like a man and woman old in years, and God giving them a child when they were barren. And your answer to our prayers, and what a blessing you are to our soul. So she comes back, and Naomi says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Call me bitter. That's a result of getting out of God's will. God's discipline had left her bitter. Ruth 1:20. Call me not Naomi. Call me Mara. The Lord has dealt bitterly with me. I'm going to try to run through this and get to the main thing. She said, I went out full, but I come back empty. I went out pleasant, and I come back bitter. Notice, she didn't blame the devil. She didn't blame bad luck. She didn't blame her husband. She didn't blame her sons. She blamed herself. Right. You'll never get anywhere with God passing the buck. It didn't get you saved when you was lost. And you got God's will. You've got to face the fact you forsaken God and not blame nobody but yourself. She forsook the house of bread. She said, well, and it's easy for us to say, well, why shouldn't they leave? There's a famine up there. Well, Brother Rick, when she comes back in the land, all those women and her friends she left are still there. So God provided for them. Sometimes, folks, at the house of God, we don't have overflowing of bread. We don't have wine, a type of joy in abundance. We don't have the oil, type of the anointing of God flowing in the place and like the dew on the ground. And we all want that. It's not always like that. I tell you, there's enough to sustain us. There's enough good times to keep us going. Out there is death and danger and destruction and disappointment and deception and darkness and depression. Thank God for the sustaining grace of God in the family. Okay, so we're going to get to this. She's lost her smile. She's sure going to get it back. Oh, man, I can't hardly even preach this without trying to get to the end. Amen. She lost a husband and she lost two sons. But Naomi is about to discover what a bona fide backslider can discover if they'll just get honest with God. God doesn't bless deception. Let me read to you Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Naomi has been gone 10 years. This is the beauty of this story, Chad. She doesn't come back like nothing happened. Oh no! She don't come back and yoke up like nothing's happened. She apologizes, yes, for forsaking God. You young converts, hear me. You get out of God's house for years, you don't come right back in here testifying. You've got to repent first. You've got to get back in fellowship with the church. You break fellowship with the church and with God, you've got to get back in fellowship with it. Amen. God ain't going to cover up your sin, and I ain't either. It's wickedness to depart from the living God. Boy, that's right. You better hear me. I'm trying to help you. I love you converts so much, I want to get you educated right to start with. You're going to stumble. You're going to skin your knees. Don't you run. You better get back to the hospital. Get out there and stay gone. Don't tell me you're right with God doing it. Ain't nothing you lying. It's wickedness. And it's got a price. We all glory, hallelujah, at the end of Job, how pitiful the Lord is. How he gave him double. Thank God for the end of Naomi. This can be you. This can be me. I mean, you can get out God's will sitting on church pew. Oh, yeah. Listen to Ruth 4:13. I want to get to this and go back and show you something. I don't have to, listen, there's about 1,000 sermons jumping out at me, but I'm going to try to be disciplined because we ain't got all day. Ruth 4:13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And he went in unto her. The Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Are you listening to verse 14? Now listen to this. And the what women, the same women, said unto Naomi. What same women? Let me go back and read this to you. I done read it to you. When Naomi come back, the city, the Bible says, verse 19, all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi or can this be Naomi? 10 years in Moab had taken her joy and her smile away. Verse 14 of Ruth 4. And the women said, not to Mara. She said, call me Mara. Nobody ever did. Because as soon as she confessed, she got her smile back. That's right. God's not wanting to punish you. God's not wanting to backhand you. He delights in mercy. He delights in grace. He wants to restore you. But you got to get honest and you got to repent. I don't think that's much to ask for. Brother Keith, what repentance is, you're agreeing with God. He's right. And you're wrong and you're sorry about it. And you never want to do that again. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord. They're going to magnify God for having mercy on his backslide. Blessed be the Lord, which has not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. Now, Naomi, along with Boaz here, and Ruth and Obed, are famous in Israel. She's a nurse. Naomi will dote over this little boy, and she'll be his nurse while he grows up, and this little boy is going to love her like his mama. She's going to take care of him as a baby. He'll take care of her in her old age. What a demonstration we have of what can happen when one man or woman that's got out of God's will really, thoroughly gets right with God. Boy, this story magnifies God's grace, God's mercy, God's love, and God's forgiveness. Let's get this real quick. Verse 15. He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nurser of thine old age. Talking about Obed. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, is better to thee than 7 sons hath borne thee. You know what? There's two things being said there. They said Ruth loves you more than 7 sons. And Ruth is going to give you a boy that's better than what 7 sons could produce. That's what I'm saying. I'll tell you, God didn't just give her back double. He gave her back 100-fold and 200-fold. What? She got honest. Amen. Oh, God will restore. He'll renew. He'll sustain. And he'll nourish you. She said, this little boy is going to take care of you in your old age. What a blessing that is. Verse 16 of Ruth 4. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom. And became nurse unto him. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name saying. Now what? Don't miss this. Here is the name. This son born to Naomi, not Mara, Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He's the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now watch this. That name Obed means worship. Did you notice what that verse said? Boaz and Ruth let the name stick that the women gave when they watched Naomi with that boy in her arms. She was so happy. She's a-praising and worshiping God that the women called him Obed. Amen. Isn't that a good finish to a terrible start? How God's grace, God's glory, God's mercy can be bestowed. Boy, she's pleasant now. She's happy now. That's like some old saint of God stayed faithful in the house of God, loved on the Lord in the bad times, in the hard times, in the times of drought, in the winter time, and in the storms. God, let that old child of God, it might be a man or a woman, let them live, and in their old age, God get to saving people in the church, and they get to loving on them young converts like they're their own children, and they leave here in great joy and great delight, and they leave here worshiping God for the mercy He's had upon them. You notice that now. He gets his name while they're watching Naomi love on this little boy. Naomi's return to Bethlehem. Now watch this. You got to. I know y'all are listening. You're listening good. This thing gets too big for me. I'm telling you, this is God's grace personified. This is God. Now Ruth's an old sinner. And we can all shout about God having mercy on her. I'm just as excited that He has mercy on backsliders. Yes, amen. Amen. Oh, it's a rejoicing day. Prodigal son comes back home. Prodigal daughter comes back home. And there's a celebration. Now watch this. Naomi returns to Bethlehem. Who she got with her? Of course, you know who she's got with her. She's got Ruth. Who does Ruth marry? She marries Boaz. Where do they live? Bethlehem. What's her great-grandson's name? David. Naomi, Boaz, and Ruth are the reason Caesar Augustus gave the command for all the world to be taxed. And Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem to register. And that's because Boaz and Ruth lived there. That's their ancestry and the obedience of a backslid woman when she got right with God and brought her daughter-in-law to the church. That daughter-in-law blessed the church, and there was conception, and they controlled the historical dictates of the world by obedience. You just can't win your family out of God's will. You just can't. God may let one get saved here and there. You can't do what you need done. You just can't pray with animosity in your heart. You just can't do it. You can't get a hold of God with bitterness in your heart and unforgiveness and jealousy and strife and all that mess. You just can't. You got that smile will be off your face. You're going to be Mara. You just can't walk with God and hold hands with sin. You just can't. Here we see Naomi's restoration, her renewal, her reward, her rejoicing, all because of one thing, she repented. Amen. I tell you what, and I'm going to embarrass her just a little bit. Y'all remember when Sister Phyllis over here? You remember when she come back to the Lord? We ain't talking about getting saved, she's already saved. I tell you something, Phyllis, that's something, wasn't it? There's a Naomi sitting over there right now. And there's her boy, saved and called to preach. And there's her daughter-in-law right there and her two little old grandchildren in here. Amen. Hey, listen to me. She's testified and ain't been honest about it. How God's blessed us all. Amen. For an example, hey, I'm excited. God delights in mercy. I'm going to tell you again, He ain't wanting to cut you down. He don't want to throw you in the hospital. He don't want to kill you youngins. He wants to have mercy on you. He wants you to let Him. Elimelech, Naomi, and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, went to sojourn in Moab. They just went for a little bit, ended up staying. Them boys died, and she stayed there 10 years. Elimelech left Bethlehem, the house of God. I already said he panicked. Now I got to provide for my family. He didn't trust God. He got out of God's house. Got out of the house of bread. Famine was difficult. He said, I got to go down there or my family's going to die. He went down there and the thing he feared most happened. And old Elimelech never got to live to see that grandbaby. Hey, this whole story would have never turned out like it did anyhow had not God in grace chose Ruth. Hey, listen, God's a matchmaker here now. Don't you think for a minute all this stuff accidentally happened? God saw Ruth down there. She's a Moabitish woman. She's the enemy of God's people and the enemy of God. He saw an old backslider down there. He said, I need both of them for a real good illustration of my grace. And he saves a sinner and restores a backslider and gives that Moabitish woman the most capable, qualified, sought after man in all of Israel. And praise God, who was the son of Rahab, the harlot, for she got converted. And Salmon, I tell you, God has set this thing up to magnify and exalt the grace of God. Both sons have died. She's a rose with her daughter-in-laws. She hears there's bread up at the house of bread. She hears God's a moving up there. God's doing something. She said, I got to get back up there. She said, there's just nothing down here. She said, I've been in misery for 10 years. I could sort of tolerate it because my husband was alive. I could sort of tolerate it because my sons were down there, down here. And now I've got no life down here, and these daughter-in-laws of mine, They're not gonna stick with me. They're gonna go get husbands, and I'm gonna be left all alone. You can just see her surmisings. Oh, but the Lord visited his people and given them bread. Boy, she heard how God was moving, and she wanted to get close to it. I'll tell you, when you hear God blessing his people, if you've ever been saved, you won't get around it. Amen. Say, it's been so long since I really felt God and felt God smiling God's approval. I just want to get around them. Maybe some what's on them will spill on me. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Hey, listen, I know how easy it is to get out of God's will. I'm not jumping on you. I'm not here to belittle nobody. God had the free right and liberty to keep anybody from being here. There's some ain't here. And I'm not saying he didn't get them here to not hear this. Of course not. I'm there jumping on nobody. I didn't know who was going to be here. I didn't have no idea about 11 o'clock last night I was going to preach this anyhow. I was going another direction. God's really wanting to restore somebody. He's really wanting to have mercy on somebody. Boy, she didn't know how that Ruth's going to be treated in Bethlehem. Naomi didn't know that. She knew, I can't give them husbands. I'm reduced to poverty. I can't take care of them. I don't have any money. I don't have no place to go. The crossroads of history is right here. Verse 15, Orpah returned to her people and to her gods. Now, I don't know if it's right. This is Jewish legend and Jewish history. More Jewish tradition. So I don't know if it's right. Do you know what Jewish tradition says happened to Orpah? She married a Philistine, and her son was Goliath and his brothers. Do you know that? Right there at the crossroads. When God's going to give you one more shot to really get right, you better move. Amen. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, return from following thee, for whither thou goest, I'll go. What a wedding vow. Where thou lodgest, thou lodge, thy people should be my people. My God, where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and all more also if all but death part from thee. And Lord, I'm going to put my request in right now. If you let me preach this next Sunday. Amen. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking unto her. Watch this. You got to get this. This is real important right here. 10 years in Moab. I want to stop and say, you better get this. You better get this right here. 10 years of Naomi being in Moab. 10 years of compromise, Brother Keith. Never one time caused Ruth to confess her allegiance to the God of Israel. But when Naomi quit compromising, when this backslider took a bold stand for God and quit compromising and said, I'm going to get back where I belong. God touched Ruth at the same time. And she saw God, and she saw the truth of what Elimelech and Naomi had been talking about for 10 years. It fell on deaf ears. She couldn't see it. Hell, it's backslider. Got right with God. She saw God was real. So Ruth's going to be God's greatest physical gift to Naomi, and Naomi to her. I tell you one thing. I can't emphasize this enough. I'm starting a little revival meeting tomorrow night, go next week, and I hope it turns into something big. But it's almost impossible now to get Christians to repent. It's almost impossible. They won't do it. They're too proud. But they're just screaming and begging God to save these sinners. And they won't even repent themselves. I'm not jumping on you. Brother Jeremy Shook, you know that's right. You start out on Monday night, a lot of churches, we just want to shout from Monday to Friday. Well, what are we doing there? I thought we needed revival. If we need revival, somebody needs to repent. Now, if the church is in the spirit of revival and everybody's walking with the Lord, you can just rejoice the whole thing. But I don't think most churches qualify for that. Amen. When believers in the church repent, God so delights in it. Christian believer, He so delights in you doing right. Getting all that mess out of your heart. He so delights in it that when you do, His glory will fill the church. And Brother Keith, sinners, they see it because they see brokenness and humility and repentance on God's people, and God goes and gets them. Boy, this is right. Again in Naomi, I'm closing. We see what God can do when one believer gets truly right with God. All these blessings didn't come as soon as they headed out toward Bethlehem or when they got there, but it set events in motion that would not be stopped until the blessings of God flowed. All because Ruth got converted and Naomi repented. What a blessing. If Ruth had not chosen God over herself, she would have never met Boaz. If Naomi had not chosen the Lord over herself, she would have never blessed Ruth. Ruth would have never blessed her. Now they've both blessed the world. All because one believer got honest with God and repented of her unfaithfulness. Amen. All you young converts, God saved you to be a blessing to His church. God put us here first to be a blessing to you. That's what we want to be. I want you to know the red carpet's out for you. I want you to know it's out for you. Now I want you to know I didn't plan this. I ain't responsible for it. This is the Lord's doings. And God's in the process of wanting to really build a great church here. He's wanting to. He's wanting to. The foundation's been laid, and the seeds of it have been planted. But it's out yonder. It's all going to be determinant. If we as believers, it's where so many churches miss it. They either get self-righteous or full of pride, and they get chewing on each other, and get their eyes off the Lord, and the grace of God, and everybody teams up. You're on my side, and we got to hate that one. And you're on my side, and we've got to blast that one. Over here, now you're on my side, and we've got to blast that one. When that trash starts, Moab! That's what the house of God turns into. There's no place for it. Amen. And we're going to bow our heads and pray in just a second. I want you to obey God. I want you to obey the Lord. If you don't have the blessings of God on your life, you sure need them. And I need them too. And I need to do what God wants me to do right now. I need to admit it and confess it and be honest about it. Quit dodging the issue. Quit trying to put it on the carpet. Hide from it. Be honest with God. If I missed Him and the devil's deceived me and pulled a wool over my eyes. Amen. Holy Father, in Jesus' name.